Chapter 19, A World of Light. As they squeezed past the rocks at the entrance to the path, Dune thought he saw the candlelight glance off a shiny place on the wall. He stopped to look, and when he saw what it was, he called out to Lina, who was a few steps ahead of him.
There's a notice!
It was a framed sign bolted to the stone, a printed sheet behind a piece of glass. Dampness had seeped under the glass and made splotches on the paper, but by holding their candles up close, they could read it. Welcome, refugees from Ember. This is the final stage of your journey. Be prepared for a climb that will take several hours. Fill your bottles with water from the river. We wish you good fortune. The Builders.
They're expecting us, said Lina.
Well, they wrote this a long time ago, Dune said. The people who put it here must all be dead by now.
That's true, but they wished us good fortune. It makes me feel as if they're watching over us.
Yes, and maybe their great-great-great-grandchildren will be there to welcome us.
Encouraged, they started up the path. Their candles made only a feeble glow, but they could tell that the path was quite wide. The ceiling was high over their heads. The path seemed to have been made for a great company of people. In some places, the ground beneath their feet was rutted in parallel grooves, as if a wheeled cart of some kind had been driven over it. After they had walked a while, they realized that they were moving in long zigzags. The path would go in one direction for some time, and then turn sharply and go the opposite way. As they went along, they talked less and less. The path sloped relentlessly upward, and they needed their breath just for breathing. The only sound was the light pat-pat of their footsteps. Lina and Dune took turns carrying Poppy on their backs. She had gotten tired of walking very soon and cried to be picked up. Twice they stopped and sat down to rest, leaning against the walls of the passage and taking drinks from Dune's bottle of water.
How many hours do you think we've been walking? Lina asked.
I don't know, Dune said. Maybe two, maybe three. We must be nearly there.
They climbed on and on. Their first candles had long ago burned down to the last inch, as had their second candles. Finally, when their third ones were about halfway gone, Lina began to notice that the air smelled different. The cold, sharp-edged rock smell of the tunnel was changing to something softer, a strange, lovely smell. As they rounded a corner, a gust of this soft air swept past them, and their candles went out. Dune said,
I'll find a match.
But Lina said,
No, wait. Look.
They were not in complete darkness. A faint haze of light shone in the passage ahead of them.
It's the lights of the city, breathed Lina.
Lina set Poppy down.
Quick, Poppy, she said,
and Poppy began to trot, keeping close at Lina's heels. The strange, lovely smell in the air grew stronger. The passage came to an end a few yards farther along, and before them was an opening, like a great empty doorway. Without a word, Lina and Dune took hold of each other's hands, and Lina took hold of Poppy's. When they stood in the doorway and looked out, they saw no new city at all, but something infinitely stranger. A land vast and spacious beyond any of their dreams, filled with air that seemed to move, and lit by a shining silver circle hanging in an immense black sky. In front of their feet, the ground swept away in a long, gentle slope. It was not bare stone as in Ember. Something soft covered it, like silvery hair, as high as their knees. Down the slope was a tumble of dark, rounded shapes, and then another slope rose beyond that. Way off into the distance, as far as they could see, the land lay in rolling swells, with clumps of shadow in the low places between them.
Dune,
cried Lina.
More lights!
She pointed at the sky. He looked up and saw them. Hundreds and hundreds of tiny flecks of light, strewn like spilled salt across the blackness.
Oh,
he whispered. There was nothing else to say. The beauty of these lights made his breath stop in his throat. They took a few steps forward.
Dune bent to feel the strands that grew out of the ground, almost higher than Poppy's head. They were cool and smooth and soft, and there was dampness on them.
"Breathe," said Lina.
She opened her mouth and took in a long breath of air. Dune did the same.
"It's sweet," he said. "So full of smells."
They held their hands out to feel the long stems as they waded slowly through them. The air moved against their faces and in their hair.
"Hear those sounds?" said Dune.
A high, thin, chirruping sound came from somewhere nearby. It was repeated over and over, like a question.
"Yes," said Lina. "What could it be?"
"Something alive, I think. Maybe some kind of bug."
"A bug that sings?"
Lina turned to Dune. Her face was shadowy in the silver light.
"It's so strange here, Dune, and so huge. But I'm not afraid."
"No, I'm not either. It feels like a dream."
"A dream, yes. Maybe that's why it feels familiar. I might have dreamed about this place."
They walked until they came to where the dark shapes billowed up from the ground. These were plants, they discovered, taller than they were, with stems as hard and thick as the walls of houses, and leaves that spread out over their heads. On the slope beside these plants, they sat down.
"Do you think there is a city here somewhere?" Lina asked. "Or any people at all?"
"I don't see any lights," Dune said. "Even far off."
"But with this silver lamp in the sky, maybe they don't need lights."
Dune shook his head doubtfully.
"People would need more light than this," he said. "How could you see well enough to work? How could you grow your food? It's a beautiful light, but not bright enough to live by."
"Then what shall we do if there's no city and no people?"
I don't know.
Dune didn't feel like thinking. He was tired of figuring things out. He wanted to look at this new world and take in the scent of it and the feel of it and figure things out later. Lina felt the same way. She stopped asking questions, drew Poppy onto her lap, and gazed in silence at the glimmering landscape. After a while, she became aware that something strange was happening. Surely, when she had first sat down, the silver circle was just above the highest branch of the tall plant. Now, the branch cut across it. As she watched, the circle sank very slowly down until it was hidden, except for a gleam of brightness behind the leaves.
"It's moving," she said to Dune.
"Yes,"